Hi, I'm Andy Finn, and I am begging you to listen to my show at www.andyfinn.us.
The Andy Finn Show, Uncommon Talk Radio.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and there was an interesting article in this morning's paper. It's an editorial on the op-ed page in the Washington Post. The penny stops here. Sebastian Mallaby, a guy who I like, and there's a proposal. He highlights the fact that there's a Republican representative from Arizona, Jim Colby, who has proposed, he's put forth a bill that said, let's get rid of the penny, the U.S. penny, the 1 cent. And frankly, I see a lot of merit to that. You know, anytime you go into a store and you see a little dish that says, need a penny, take a penny, have a penny, give a penny, you know that pennies are just an irritant to us, right? They don't really want to count pennies, so they don't want to break your dollar bill to get 2 cents from you. They take them out of the dish. The question is, why do we need pennies? And I was struck by this. Anytime you go into a store, marketing, I don't know, I guess it must work or they wouldn't still do it, but you go into a store and everything's priced 99 or 79, right? It's $5.99 and $8.99 and $9.99 and $99.99 and $4.99.99 or 95, as though they're fooling us. And you say, oh, it's not really $100. It's only $99.95.
Yeah. And then after the tax, you end up paying a substantial amount more.
And you owe somebody some pennies.
Yeah.
So this proposal is, why don't we do away with the penny and round to the nearest nickel? And the estimate is that it would save a lot of money. First of all, the U.S. government minted 4.8 billion pennies in the first half of this year alone. This is what he claims. Now, I didn't check this fact. I would like to check it. I can't believe we minted 4.8 billion pennies in the first half of this year alone. On the other hand, when I think of how many pennies I have at home, and I'm guessing how many you have at home, Mike, they might have needed more than that.
Yeah.
But that suggests almost 10 billion a year. I don't quite believe that number. The point is we do mint a lot of pennies. And the other thing is that there's an estimate by some economists about how much time pennies take up. So they add time to a transaction. And if you multiply it by billions of transactions a year among all 300 million Americans, we're wasting time counting pennies and all of that when we could round to the nearest nickel. And the estimates are that rounding is going to come out even. That is, you aren't going to lose pennies or money because they round, because you're, for every time you round up 2 cents, you're going to round down 2 cents. It comes out about even according to the models that they use to calculate this. So Mallaby goes further and says we should also consider abolishing nickels and dimes for the same reason. It still costs us time in these transactions to deal with nickels. And as long as you're willing to round up and round down, it'll all come out even in the end. Nobody will lose money and we'll save precious seconds.
But then where will it stop? You know, it's the nickels, then the dimes, then the quarters, then the half dollars.
Get rid of the $100 bills and we'll just deal in thousands.
Yeah, okay.
No, well, there certainly is. We'd never get rid of nickels and quarters. But the other piece of this is when you say we're going to save X number of seconds, and if you add it adds up to productivity. I used to have a boss when I was doing human factors at Bell Labs, and my boss said to me, you know, there's talk about how many keystrokes this saves, and you can save X number of seconds per hour, per day, per worker, and it adds up to this huge amount of money, you know, $1 billion every 5 years or something. But he said, that assumes that you're going to do something productive with those seconds. What most people do is they turn around and they play a video game, or they talk with a neighbor, or they open their mail, or if you don't do something with those seconds, you're not actually saving anything. But I always like this talk about money. It's the same with the idea of getting rid of the dollar bill and going to dollar coins. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy those conversations. And let's see. I'm going to hold off on this one about Pat Roberts. You know, we've got to talk about our Senate race here in Virginia because it has heated up today to an unbelievable degree because George Allen's in further trouble today. Of course, George Allen is the son of the revered Redskins, former Redskins owner, George Allen, senior.
Coach.
I'm sorry, he was coach. Yes. That's right. Thank you. I should have asked you rather than stated like I knew what I was talking about, being from different parts of the country, but only here 7 years.
You are forgiven, sir.
Thank you. And George Allen played football at the University of Virginia and had a successful career and a couple of other things. And then he became a U.S. senator from Virginia 6 years ago. He's running for re-election. This was expected to be a sweep into office. Allen was way ahead in the polls. There was not a worthy opponent yet. In fact, he was not only going to sweep into office, he was also seen as the likely conservative challenger to John McCain for the Republican presidential nomination in 2 years, or really it's in 1 year they'll start running, which kind of surprised me because I've seen Allen in action since I've been here, and I'm not that impressed with him. Of course, he's a conservative, and I'm not. But he's now got a real race on his hand. It started when the Democrats nominated Jim Webb, former Navy Secretary under Ronald Reagan, former Republican, switched to being a Democrat after the Iraq War and said, I don't want any part of this. Military man, decorated in Vietnam, solid credentials, not a very... It's the right word. Not a very exciting campaigner, but he's a solid candidate in a state that, much like New York State, has a population about, I want to say roughly half its population, like New York State, in the big city or near D.C. in Northern Virginia, that isn't exclusively Democratic, but that's where most of the liberal and Democratic vote is. And then there's the downstate area, the rest of the state, which is rural and quite conservative. It's an oversimplification, but New York is much the same way. So Allen was considered a shoe-in, even though Webb's a solid candidate. And then we had, about 8 weeks ago, the Makaka comment, where George Allen spoke out at a rally, and this Indian fellow, who happens to be an American but of Indian descent, that is East Indian, was videotaping him, and he called him Makaka, which ends up being a racial slur in some parts of the world about Africans. It means a monkey of some sort, I think. And he's spent 6 weeks, 8 weeks, apologizing for that. And to his credit, Allen has apologized profusely, and they don't let him off the hook. He's still apologizing for it. At some point, I would say, you know, I'm done apologizing for this. I'm not going to take any more questions about it. But he's got to seem reasonable, so he's not taken that approach. Then last week, the news breaks that he's Jewish. And at first, he got angry when he was asked the question, is your mother Jewish? Because it came on the heels of another question by the same reporter about the Makaka comment, so he was irritable. But it made it sound like he was hostile to the idea that he might have Jewish blood. Now, I don't think that's going to hurt him with the rural voters of Virginia, but he's since come out and admitted that his mother told him only a month ago. Now, she's been keeping this secret her whole life, that she was Jewish, her
as if it's something to be ashamed about.
No, that's not why she was keeping it a secret. But you're right, that's the thing that people worry about. No, your heart has to go out to Jewish people, because her story is this. Allen always talked about how his grandfather was in a concentration camp, a Nazi concentration camp. And people said, well, does that mean he was Jewish? He says, no, he was part of the French resistance, Allen has always believed. Because when his mother came over here, she was getting married to a Christian American, and they agreed, she and her husband, Alan's father, I think it's his real father, remember, you know, his her first husband would be his real father, I don't know for sure, they agreed that she would hide her Jewishness, that his family would never accept it, and she just came out of this bad experience we call the Holocaust and Hitler, and said, you know, maybe being Jewish isn't so cool in today's world. This is 1945. And so she became Christian and never told anyone about her Jewish roots. Now, there have been rumors, and if Allen had been curious, the argument is he could have figured it out, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't blame him so much, except for some reason, instead of carrying this secret to her grave, his mother told him a month ago that I'm Jewish, and I gave it up when I met and married your father and moved to the U.S., because of the prejudice we thought we would face and because of his family's attitude. Well, Alan was then asked at this rally, and he knew that he was Jewish, and he denied it. And so he since corrected that. I don't think that's going to hurt him, but these flaps haven't started. That was just last week. The big one's today. The big one is today, apparently, and I haven't even gone on the internet to check this out. I've heard a couple of radio reports, and maybe you can actually check on this, Mike, while we're talking, if you have any time. Apparently, somebody that he plays football with, and it may have been more than one person, came out and said that George Allen used to use the N-word, referring to blacks. That's right. He called blacks nincompoops.
Goodness.
And I'm sorry.
I thought he called them Nimrod. I was getting worried.
He shouldn't be using the word poop in any way, shape, or form because, again, that harkens back to that's a lot of macaca. And so he denied it. That's what all I heard as of midday today. Then I find out tonight, secondhand admittedly, I talked to someone who said that this has been seconded and confirmed by other people that went to school with Alan, including Larry Sabato. And you may recognize that name if you're a news junkie. He appears on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC all the time. He's I believe, a law professor at the University of Virginia. He happened to be in the same dorm or a roommate or something of George Allen's back in college at the University of Virginia. He's well-respected, well-known. That, combined with corroboration by a couple of other people, Allen's got to decide if he's going to apologize or continue to deny, because this is a hot one. This will not go away, is my prediction. So macaca is 6 or 8 weeks old, and it's almost gone. And the problem, too, is that this ties in with macaca, because it's a form of prejudice. That's what the claim was about macaca, and Alan said, I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. Well, the suspicion has always been that this ultra-conservative fellow may have had prejudice bones in his body.
According to this blog I'm reading right now, Senator Allen referred to this gentleman as macaca twice.
That's true.
But I'm not finding anything about the N-word. It's all about macaca. Macaca this, macaca that. He's still macaca.
Look, put him and Larry Sabato together on a search and see if anything comes up at the very top of a Google search. You know how they say 5 minutes ago, an hour ago? Sometimes you find those very latest news things.
I'm sorry, the other name, Larry Sabato?
Sabato, S-A-B-O-A-T-O. And put them in quotes, and maybe you'll find it.
Gotcha.
Anyway, we may know enough about this that we don't need to see if there's any more confirmation. But this will not go away. Here's what happens with politicians. You have a serious problem when what you do plays into stereotypes about you. So let's go back to the 2000 election and try and be nonpartisan about this. George Bush, the reputation was he was an idiot. Again, I'm being nonpartisan. Al Gore, the reputation was he was a liar. Right? So everything that the media covered got magnified and presented through the prism of Bush is an idiot, Gore is a liar. And so they could both do the same thing. They could both make a misstatement. If it was Gore, people said, well, he's lying. He lied about this. If it was Bush, they said, well, he's too stupid to know any better. Neither one is a fair characterization, but once there's a stereotype about you, it gets magnified in the press. And that's the risk for the Allen campaign here. And so he may need to get out front on this. Although he's already denied it, so I don't know what he'll do about this. But 6 weeks before an election, this is a nightmare for the Allen campaign. Webb has closed the gap some, but he still was going to lose this election unless something else happened. This sounds like it's the something else. So I'm going to predict right now this race is going to tighten up, be neck and neck. And this, I didn't think Allen could possibly lose. This could be what costs Allen the election. We will have to see. In any case, when we come back, we're going to move on to some other issues, and I've got to move on to what the Bill Clinton interview on Fox News yesterday, as well as the bill to deal with detainees.
You're listening to The Andy Finn Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS radio network.